The views expressed on the Big Shiny podcast do not express the views of Big Shiny Robot as a whole, its subsidiaries, or its sponsors.
And the Big Shiny podcast contains coarse language like
penis butt.
Listener discretion is advised.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
Welcome to Big Shiny Robot.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week, what episode number is this? This is like
23?
69.
Yeah.
It's not
69. It's 69.
Somebody took a ninja picture. There was a ninja photo taken. I saw it.
69.
17, 19, 20, 21, 22. This is episode 23.
All right, cool. Whatever. But this week we're talking about comics and collectibles. And sitting to my left is Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
Hello.
Sitting to my right is... That Kylie, also known as Vagitron. That's it.
That was it. I'm sorry.
Wow. So that's what a letdown sounds like.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
And sitting next to him is Tom, also known as Zombietron.
Hi.
And co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas, also known as Kiltaculatron.
Hello.
And I am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. And joining us once again this week is Cassidy, also known as Neverbot.
These guys.
Oh, you guys.
Pretty much.
Okay, stop. Fucking guys.
So, once again, this podcast is brought to you by the Bohemian Brewery.
Damn, located. Stereo.
Oh. Oh, nice. Whoa. Nicely done.
I don't know what triple audio is. Tri-stereo?
You just heard beer in three dimensions.
But they are located in Midvale at 94 East and 7200 South, and you can get their beer anywhere where fine beers are sold, and check them out at bohemianbrewery.com.
And their schnitzel is ballin'.
Yes, and their Sunday is. Brunch.
Their brunch, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We brunch. Make it a little brunch
day. Big shiny brunch.
So good. We're going to jump right into it. Of course, we're going to start the conversation off with comics. Kylie, did you bring anything? Because you haven't for like the last 3 weeks, and if you don't, I actually have some stuff I want to talk about.
I wanted to talk about Batman Eternal, which has been awesome, and Original Sin, but that would kind of go into some other stuff I wanted to talk about with like Marvel continuity and how fucked up it is.
Go ham.
But Batman Eternal is a weekly series that DC's been doing. I think they're on like on issue 13 at the moment, but it's basically the story is Commissioner Gordon has caused this huge subway wreck and killed like 120 people. Now he's been arrested. The person that has taken over as commissioner is kind of running with the gangs and letting all the gang shit happen. And
dirty cop.
A very dirty cop. Him and the mayor are together with this. So Falcone is the big guy who's come back, and they're kind of letting him run the city. And so if the cops will go out and like bust somebody, he'll just like, nope, let him go. They can't arrest any of these people. So they're trying to figure out who has kind of framed Gordon, because it seems like something was messing with his head. That's awesome.
Wild stuff.
But that's actually been a pretty fun series. Like I said, it is weekly, so that can be a little daunting to take on.
I feel like there's like some poor writer like chained in a basement just going.
So far, it's been Snyder for this whole time.
Batman?
No, this is Batman Eternal.
Sorry.
The reason I picked it up was one of my favorite characters from the old universe before they rebooted was Stephanie Brown. Spoiler, she was... That was the name. Not this is a spoiler. The name of the character was the spoiler. And she was Robin for a little while.
Did she come in like, spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert, I'm Robin!
I just got this vision of like, this girl breaking through my... Spoiler alert!
If you would have bought that book... Trash.
Yeah.
She'd be like, no, not doing
I would have gotten to the last page and she never did that. I'd be like, this is going in the garbage.
But she was Batgirl up until they did the reboot and brought Barbara Gordon back. And I really liked the character quite a bit. And when they did the 52 reboot, she wasn't there at all. But this is the series where they're introducing her into the new 52. So that's one of the big reasons I'm picking it up, because I really liked that character quite a bit.
Oh.
Original Sin, and this will go into this new Captain America shit that's going on with the Falcon taking
right.
over.
Right.
So I'm not going to need Tom's help on this because he's reading Cap.
I sure am.
So what's going on with Original Sin? What is that even about?
Yeah, I was
so
going to buy it.
So someone has killed the Watcher and taken his eyeballs.
Oh, that's right.
You told Son me. Of a bitch.
Exactly.
To this murder.
At one point, when one of the eyeballs comes into contact with all the Avengers, they get flashes from everybody,
hot flashes.
Yes, like these horrible.
Tom, we got a really long agenda to get through.
Sorry, I was
these horrible things they've done. Basically, it kind of comes back on them, and like these are your sins. This is what you've done. Nick Fury's there in the crowd, and what's bugging him is he didn't see anything. Everyone else saw something, but he didn't see anything. You go in a few issues, and Nick Fury's there in his little base, and he's kind of. He's trying to figure out who's killed the Watcher. They're trying to track down the other eyeball, all this fun stuff. Bucky breaks in, and before this happens, he's wondering why he didn't see anything. What's going on? So Bucky breaks in, kills Nick Fury, takes his head off.
Like, really kills him?
Oh yeah, there's blood and everything.
Like full-on dead Nick Fury.
Well, this is comic books.
Right.
So when I read this issue, I was like, oh, Nick Fury's dead. Yeah, that wasn't Nick Fury. And this is Life Model Decoy, you know. This is
right.
The guy who always has robots running around. So the next issue, everyone's trying to track down Bucky because he just killed Nick Fury. You find out up on the satellite station where they're led to, this old decrepit Nick Fury comes crawling out, and he's got all these Life Model Decoys of, like, you know, the Nick Fury we're used to seeing. And so you find out that he, I think it was World War II, during some big battle he was fighting, this weird alien portal opened up and these aliens started pouring out. He didn't know what the hell was going on because he's just fighting the war. And some dude in a jetpack comes flying up and they're doing crazy shit and he's talking to Howard Stark. And Nick Fury doesn't know what the hell's going on. This guy in the jetpack and the suit throws some bomb through the portal and kind of destroys the alien homeworld. And then Howard Stark comes running up after, and this guy in the suit died doing this. He's pretty much dead. Nick Fury's the one talking to him as he's dying, and he's like, do you need me to send a message to anybody that you love? And Howard Stark comes running up, and he's like, wow, he looks dead. And he's like, he is dead. So Howard Stark takes him to this place, some underground base, and is kind of explaining who this guy was. And he wasn't like a protector for America. He was like this protector of Earth for these alien invasions.
Like a Nova Corps?
Not necessarily Nova Corps, but just kind of like this lone guy with all this technology that, you know, he's like, you wouldn't imagine all the different alien invasions that have almost happened, but this guy has stopped because he's just kind of like this protector. But now he's dead. So he asked Nick Fury, do you want to take over? And he's like, yeah, I'll do this. So his day job's pretty much what he was doing, became the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that fun stuff. But nobody knew he was, you know, doing these, going out into space and assassinating aliens and doing all this shit to protect Earth.
Wow.
So he comes out and explains it to everybody. And he's also explained that the Infinity Serum that's in him that's keeping him young? So this has dried up, basically, and he's aging rapidly. And he's basically getting ready to die. So this is what irritates me. It's kind of a fun story, but over in Captain America,
he's aging rapidly.
Because his super soldier serum is worn off. This is where
something,
I need your help.
So,
Steve Rogers is also aging.
Right, yes. So and I don't. It's hard to follow, and it's a bummer, because I'm a huge fan of what Remender's been doing. But he's fighting the Iron Nail on this giant... It's really actually similar to the Captain America 2 movie. They're fighting him on Gungnir, which is this giant warship that is actually like this big fucking like mech knight with a giant laser sword that's going to crush the city. And he gets hit with like these venom hooks, basically, of some sort. And after he gets hit, he throws his shield, destroys the reactor. Falcon barely saves him. And after that, Cap is like 100 years old, basically. He's suddenly started withering rapidly, and he's really old, and he's... And that's where he is. Like, you find him in the next issue, sitting in bed, watching all this news about how Captain America failed everyone and blah, blah, blah. And Falcon fucks Jet, and it gets weird. But it's... And then Zola invades, and they're like, oh, shit. Because Jet's like, oh, fuck, that's my dad, right? It's kind of funny, because they have, like, that weird... like, you know, in like high school movies where like the teenagers are fooling around and the parent comes into the door and the kid jumps out the window. It's kind of like that, but you've got Jet and Falcon, and then like Arnim Zola like lands through his portal on Earth. But yeah, same thing though. He's basically, for whatever reason, whether the super soldier serum has dried up, basically whatever sparks in his blood has stopped, and he's 70-year-old Steve Rogers right now. Which leads into Marvel announcing that Falcon is actually going to start taking on the mantle of Cap, because with Zola invading, he's taking all of his, they're not hybrids, but they're like, they're mutants basically that he's made out of his crazy biological experiments in Dimension Z, and so the Avengers are going to fight them, and they need Captain America as a symbol, and so Falcon is going to be donning that mantle for an undisclosed period of time.
And from what it sounds like to me, it sounds like kind of a Batman Beyond thing where Cap's going to be right, in the background, exactly, kind of helping him out.
That'd be kind of cool.
Kind of right. In the Batcave, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah, because he wants to be the tactician and running everything, yeah, because his heart's still in the fight. He's still very involved, but he doesn't have the physical prowess of Steve Rogers anymore.
So let's bring this into a larger conversation, because this isn't the only change that Marvel's making, right? So we got Falcon taking over the mantle of Captain America.
Right.
We have Iron Man picking up and moving to San Francisco, and
I wasn't aware of that.
I think he's going to be Superior Iron Man.
Yeah,
Man now. He's got this silver and blue suit now, and everything I've read up on it is that he's kind of not really an anti-hero, but he's becoming very egotistical.
Going back to his old ways.
Of being like, I'm the smartest man alive. I can better society. So my understanding, this is going to sound weird, and I might be saying this wrong, but essentially Stark Industries comes out with like this mobile app that promises like youth and beauty and like all this stuff like delivered in a mobile app.
Yeah, he releases Extremis as an app.
Oh, okay. Extremis is an app. Exactly. And so for the betterment of society, and not everyone agrees that that's something that should happen.
Right.
But he's like, no, I know better, and this is what I think should happen, so I'm going to do it. So I guess he's very much going to be, for the next little while, straddling this line of being a hero, but also we may not always be agreeing with his methods. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then we've got this. Now, Kyla, I want you to help me out with this, because everything you see online right now is that Thor is now a woman. But that's not the case, right?
So you posted something.
I understand, what Marvel's release was saying, just their brief little tweet that they had said, that Thor is no longer worthy
of Mjolnir,
so a woman has taken up the hammer.
Right.
So I don't know where people are getting that Thor is a woman, because Thor is still going to be there. He just doesn't have the hammer anymore.
Right. And I remember reading, and it was in 1692. Is that what that series is called?
1602.
And they talk about a wanderer in that series, and he finds Mjolnir and becomes the Thunder God. And so I always kind of understood Thor that it wasn't really a person as much more of a title. Or as much more
it's
of
almost
a,
like an entity that comes from the hammer.
Comes from Mjolnir. So for me, when they're like, oh, it's going to be like, oh, so a new person picked it up, this woman gained the power of Thor, it makes sense.
Right. But the way that some people are talking about it is it's like they make it sound like it was a gender swap. Like, old Thor doesn't exist anymore. They've changed him into a woman. It's not. I mean, this woman is, for all intents and purposes, she's Thor, because whoever is worthy to hold that hammer is Thor, right? Now, so she's Thor, and that's acceptable. That's cool. I think that's kind of an interesting change. But the man formerly known as Thor is still around, and he's got some big-ass battle axe now doing something.
Yeah. Is he going to be kind of like the big redheaded like god guy that follows Thor around and kicks ass?
Well, so
he'll still have his Asgardian stuff, right?
I can't remember which comic series it was, but there's one where it's kind of like Thor's last days, and like he's kind of like an older man. He's got this big beard. He's like, you know, the
Odin style
king of gods.
Right. Is it this new Jason Aaron stuff they did?
Yeah. So they kind of looked in the future.
So it goes through like three different eras of Thor through that whole story.
And they're kind of like building up to that future that you've already seen. So, you know, he doesn't have the power of Thor, but he's still an Asgardian.
He's Odin, basically.
Right.
Yeah. And so he's got this big battle axe, and then his left arm is like
a robot.
It's not a robot. It's the Destroyer's arm.
Oh, like, cool. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's like the Destroyer's arm is attached to him or if it's just the Destroyer's arm. I'm not really sure how that works. But so a lot of big changes. Because, I mean, now the Avengers, you're looking at Falcon as Captain America. You've got right now, I mean, we don't know who this woman is that is now Thor. If she's someone...
My theory is with what they're doing, and I'm probably wrong, but with what they're doing right now, because Thor is... The Thor God of Thunder is on hiatus while they're doing this original Sin, Thor and Loki, where they're introducing Angela, who they introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was an image character from Spawn that Neil Gaiman created. They're introducing her.
Right.
They've introduced her into the Marvel Universe, but basically they're going to come out and say this is Thor's sister. So my theory is that's going to be the person in the armor.
So now somebody posted something about, like, and it might have been you, it might have been Aldo, it might have been Tommy, I can't remember. But they mentioned that, like, Mjolnir had nothing to do with it and that she had a different hammer. It was you. You posted about none of this is like, and I read it. And I was like, oh yeah, there are different hammers. Because I remember reading Fear Itself where
like
the Vader seven
hammers. Bill has his own like little hammer axe thing.
And you talked to, I think it was you put it on Facebook that was like, you know, and she's gonna have the hammer of Umu or something like that.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay, no. Maybe it was Tommy. But anyway, but I still think like I don't know. I haven't seen as much outrage about it, but like. A lot of people have brought up, you know, wasn't Thor a frog for a while? Mm-hmm. And so who cares? I don't know.
In the Earth X universe, Thor was a woman.
So here's a question.
Like
so,
Storm's been Thor. And
do you feel like Miles, Cal. Right? Do you feel like Miles Morales was kind of like a test for that to see how it worked? Yeah. And I only say that because Miles
doing such a drastic change to a
character.
Yeah, because
like Miles Morales, you know, became the ultimate Spider-Man, right? And then, you know, we got Peter Parker running around doing whatever the fuck he's doing. Whether he's a clone or they haven't really explained it yet, but
right.
So Miles Morales is out there, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to put a teenage kid, teenage black kid, essentially as a Spider-Man," and then suddenly, you know, Captain America is now Falcon, and you've got a female Thor. Like, what do you think? What do you think Marvel's trying to do with this? Do you think they're trying to reach out to a different generation, or what's their plan?
This is going back to what I was originally trying to get to with the original Sin and Captain America.
Right.
I don't think they have a plan. They have no continuity going on.
Okay. Yeah.
So I literally picked up the new issue of Captain America and flipped it open today to see he's an old man.
Fuck, that was today.
Picked up.
Hold on. From your Facebook.
Okay.
Marvel announces that Thor is no longer worthy of Mjolnir, and now a woman will be wielding the mighty Uru hammer.
Okay.
You wrote this.
That was actually cut and paste from their tweet.
Oh,
that
okay.
is Marvel.
So
tweet.
Is the Uru hammer, is Mjolnir the Uru hammer?
That I'm not too sure. I don't know if it was part of that Fear Itself where all those hammers came down and it's
right,
one of those hammers.
Because that's where my brain went. I'm like, oh, well, in Fear Itself, like everybody had different
hammers.
Because
then you noted how the geek community turned this into Thor is now a woman. I just don't know. And again, I don't know.
It'll be
I
fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Like, yeah, people are... I haven't seen. I'm sure there's outrage out there. I haven't seen much of it. Mostly everything I've seen has been either positive or, at worst, a giant meh.
Mm-hmm. Like, I killed a
I
Facebook
definitely
feed.
Saw some negative stuff on the Salt Lake Comic Con.
Did you?
Group
oh, that's
page.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, there were some people that were that definitely felt negative about it.
Yeah, it was Lucas' wife. I feel like, though, that a lot of those people were, like... I feel like the people from the KSL comment section, like, found their way over. They kind of, like, scooted over to Comic-Con and were like, let's fuck some shit up.
Well, and it's kind of... Was it Randall that wrote the article for
us? Yeah, which
Randall.
Is really good.
Yeah, so...
the four reasons why it doesn't
yeah,
matter.
The four, yeah. yeah, and his last reason is, like, Marvel's eventually going to hit the reset button. So, again, like, we've always yeah. talked about with any change... In the Marvel
it's
Universe,
not
a, it's never.
I mean, they're
last.
Killing Wolverine off in September.
Peter Parker's alive,
right.
or something. Maybe he's a clone.
He's
but,
alive.
But let me get this out really quick.
Yeah.
So I had, I literally had the new issue Captain America out, open. You can see him as an old decrepit man. I got the newest copy of Original Sin opened up. There's Nick Fury as a decrepit man, but there's Steve Rogers as Captain America.
Oh yeah,
you know, wanting to kick Nick Fury's ass. So I'm looking at this going. So they're going to make Thor a woman, but what's to say I can read another book and he's just going to be a man?
So
in
like,
book.
You know,
there's
right.
no
like,
there's no continuity.
Just like the Superior Spider-Man, Doc Ock is going to be kicking around here pretty soon.
Yeah,
yeah.
And nobody's understanding why.
I think it's
right.
the whole Spider-Verse crossover thing going on. So
right,
I can kind of see that in a way.
But
because
it doesn't make sense.
Is,
yeah. unless
is
it's like an alternate universe?
Yeah.
Know.
Is anybody else reading Ultimate FF still?
No. The only one I'm reading anymore is Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay, because like the new Ultimates is like teeny bopper bullshit. Ultimate FF was like a bunch of girls on the beach drinking and partying.
The last Ultimates issue I think was when it had all the chicks on the beach on the cover, and I'm like, I'm done.
I think I need to drop it. My wife goes, "What the fuck are you reading?" I'm like, I don't even know anymore.
So yeah, a lot of changes coming from Marvel. I think, you know, like anything, change. I mean, change isn't always good, right? But I mean, if it's not good, it'll get changed back, right? I mean, because who knows? Maybe, you know, this female Thor storyline has some kick-ass writers behind it.
If Jason Aaron's doing it, probably pretty
soon. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it might be something, you know, let's stick with it for a couple years because it's awesome. If it's good,
and
keep doing it.
They have done some awesome stuff in the past where they've messed things up to the point. Like, Superior Spider-Man's a good recent thing where I enjoyed Superior Spider-Man more than Spider-Man. It was just such a different take on him.
Yeah.
And when Straczynski was doing amazing and they unmasked Peter Parker during the whole whatever the fuck that was, the Civil War thing, when Peter Parker came out and said, "I'm Spider-Man." Awesome. And then they took that back so quick. I'm like, there was so many years of stories you could have gone with this. And they were so quick to go, no, we need to fix that.
Well, and I have like a back and forth on the Cap thing, I guess. I'm really excited with Falcon as Cap, because I think it'll be a cool new angle, right?
Well, he's got the wings with
him
still,
too. He's got the wings.
Too.
Well, and that was somebody, I think it was Marvel, or somebody talked about how, you know, a big part of Falcon's role was basically to fly Cap the fuck into combat and drop him off. Now he's going to fly himself in, right? And they talked about how, you know, Steve Rogers is going to have to teach Falcon how to wield the shield and how to throw it and how to utilize it. But then part of me is kind of like, you know, maybe we should let a Cap run go more than 22 issues, you know? And I'm sure they'll continue it on, but, you know, Brubaker did 19. And Remender's still going to be writing, as far as I know. But, you know, 22 issues, and then boom. Like, Cap is basically dead. We're moving to Falcon. It's like, give me 100, and I know it's like a couple of years, but a solid issues of Steve Rogers.
They kind of keep moving away from it.
Yeah.
Because he was killed, and Bucky took over, and then he came back.
Right, and then Nuke was Captain America, or supposed to be, but then he wasn't. He was wired to explode, and they took over him. Like, can't I just have the Steve Rogers, the Boy Scout that I know and love, for like 5 years?
Yeah.
They'll never do that.
They won't, but I would love it, because as it was hard enough for me as a Cap fan to get into Cap with the death of Captain America and all that other shit. So I'm looking at it as someone who wants more people to like Captain America and go, where the fuck are they going to start? Like, if it's me right now, I say, you know what? Here's Remender's run. Go for it. If you want to learn the essence of Cap, read the 19-issue Brubaker run. Buy the trade of Death of Captain America when you're really feeling like getting into it. But truthfully, you should read Ultimates. You should read, you know, the Captain America run by Brubaker, and then jump right into Remender and maybe go back 50 years other than that. And it's kind of a bummer they keep, like, jumping these timelines so quickly. Because, you know, you see some kid who just watched Captain America 2 last year, and he'll be like, I don't remember Captain America being black.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just going to – the continuity is going to throw off. So that's kind of a bummer.
Well, but I could be crazy. It'll be good. I could be crazy, but I wonder – Marvel seems pretty excited about all these big these changes that are coming, and I wonder if maybe they're building themselves an exit strategy for the cinematic universe.
Okay, yeah.
That, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth aren't going to be these characters forever. This allows them a way to maintain a continuous story without having to recast or reboot.
Yeah,
well, it does.
That's really smart.
It does allow them a way to do that. But I tell you what, next year when Avengers 2 comes out, they're going to reset all these other books. So because they're going to want Steve Rogers as Captain America, they're going to want Tony Stark as Iron Man.
Sure. But
and they're going to start them all off with number one, so people that have seen the movies can come in.
But I think what Cassidy's saying, though, correct me if I'm wrong, is that years from now, like, so Chris Hemsworth's contract expires and he's like, I'm kind of done being Thor. It was great while it lasted. Now they could bring in some kick-ass actress to be
some hot
a female
Amazonian
version of
Thor,
because, you know, and they can have it somehow, you know, it'll tie back into Chris Hemsworth's Thor, but now she is Thor because she's the one that's worthy to wield the hammer.
Right.
And no one can really stick their nose up at it because they're pulling from comics.
Yeah, right? and they don't have to tell us, you know, it's a different actor, but it's the same character, and they don't have to reboot. They can keep going.
And how awesome was Falcon in Captain America 2, right?
He's great.
He stole the show.
And they could absolutely have him move into that role, and I think everyone would be fine.
And everyone would love him.
And I think that's
a
big thing about the Falcon thing, too, is that I think Falcon in Cap 2 brought it, much like how Iron Man was, you know, not really huge until that first movie came out.
Right, but he brought out the character.
Yeah, people were like, who's this Falcon guy? And like, I showed Tiffany a picture of Falcon before we saw the movie. Like, this is what he looks like in the comic books. He looks a little goofy. Like, even modern times, he still looks goofy with the red and white. And
the yellow beak.
Yeah, the yellow beak thing and everything. Like, she's like, really? That's Falcon? I'm like, yeah, but he's he can be a badass.
Like, he's just, awesome.
Yeah, and he, like you said, I completely agree with you, Tom. He stole the show, like, yeah, especially in the finale. But we need to move on from
Okay, Marvel. Can I make one quick point? We'll be done. So the one thing I will say about Captain America, Falcon becoming him, is there's an amazing, and I can't remember if it's issue 18 or 19 of the Remender run, where Captain America loses his shit over Nuke, and he is literally beating the guy to fucking death. Like, he's going to kill him. And Falcon actually, like, steps in and pulls him off and kind of explains what Cap is all about. So the one thing for me that's exciting is people are like, oh, he'll be a different Cap. He will be different, but I think the Falcon character in the comic books understands the mantra of Captain America enough that it will actually carry over. Yeah, so it'll carry over really well. Yeah. I'm done. Good.
TMNT and Ghostbusters crossover.
I didn't get that one. I got
it's happening.
Okay.
Dan Chewing, that does the art for the Ghostbuster series, will be doing the art.
Dapper Dan.
Yep, Dapper Dan.
I love his art.
I'll have to buy
it's
that.
Gonna be sweet. They haven't announced many details, but I don't know what else you need to know.
Yeah, you know. I love the X-Files crossover.
I was gonna say, do you think it was this X-Files thing they did through the IDW universe that kind of sparked this, or
because that covers been in the works that covers for a while? Amazing.
Well, in the Ghostbuster series, they're doing a whole story arc right now called Mass Hysteria. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about it on the podcast a little bit. Where, like, it's Gozer's sister. There's more of, like, a god of mischief, kind of like Loki, and she's trying to one-up him. When that's over with after the 8 issues, the Ghostbusters story is done, and they're done doing comics.
Oh.
But this Ninja Turtles is kind of happening after that, so maybe they'll come back. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of details, but it looks super sweet.
From what I understand, it's the Turtles... because of some mishap with an invention, they get sent over to an alternate universe. They arrive in the Ghostbusters universe, Ghostbusters New York. They don't come through alone, presumably either Shredder or the Foot Clan. Somebody comes through with them. And the implication is that the Ghostbusters and the Turtles will have to basically team up to fight off not just the ghosts, but also whatever comes through.
How cool would it be if it was the big, I can't remember his name, is it Spike? The big turtle?
The Black Mask.
Slash. How cool if Slash came through with him.
But he's kind of pals with him now in the comic.
Yeah, I'm like 4 issues behind, so.
Yeah, they're palling around now.
Are they? Oh, okay, cool.
Can we talk about Legos?
Yeah, I want to talk about Legos and then these a little bit.
Oh my god. Can we talk about.
Once you hit Legos.
Can we talk about the Mega Man fucking Hot Toys? Go on.
They're doing Mega Man helmets to the...
Oh, the USB-powered ones?
What are you talking about?
I tagged you in a post today.
Yeah, the helmets.
Yeah.
It's like a full-fledged statue, but it's Mega Man's helmet, and the ears light up if I saw right, and it's got its own little stand. They're pretty sweet.
Thanks. Sorry, it looks super sick. Anyone going to Comic-Con, pick me one up, dog.
So, talk about your Legos.
I've been cheating on my wife with Legos.
Right.
You spend a lot of money on Legos.
This display in front of us makes me marvel that he also can afford a child. Like, there's a lot of Lego in front of me.
They have moving bits.
So, yeah, it started off a couple months ago. I bought a little,
You were talking about Legos last podcast like it was jerking you off.
Yeah, it all started, I bought, like, this little Spider-Man set. Or no, those Star Wars.
Right. Yeah, the little
Star Wars sets. Guys. And it's just escalated.
It escalated quickly.
It escalated.
It changes theory so, of escalation.
Yeah, so quickly. So, I mean, I have got all of the new Guardians of the Galaxy Lego sets.
I can't wait for that movie.
Including the Milano, which we've got sitting here in front of us.
I can't see it. There's all these beer cans in the way.
All these delicious Bohemian beer cans.
But I bought the big Arkham Asylum set. The Arkham Asylum breakout set that comes with, like, all the villains and a sweet Batman and Robin minifigs. Really cool interactive piece. I also got the Batcave. I've started to move into the Lego movie sets. I've got the Benny's spaceship here as well, which was a really, really fun build. If I wasn't following instructions, it looks like something I would have built when I was a kid, which I just absolutely love. I've even started kind of getting into some of the Hobbit sets.
Frankly,
because I'm running out of the superhero sets.
You probably dropped like what? $600.
Yeah, I mean, you're like a house payment in, aren't you?
This is like $100 here.
I'm in it pretty deep.
Got that big money coming in, son.
No, that's my, that's where all my, so
that's her college fund.
Yeah. No, okay, here's what you have to understand, though, with the new kid, right? we're not going out and doing shit.
That's true. Like, so like,
we don't have an entertainment budget. Right. We're sitting at home Netflixing shit and maybe ordering a pizza.
Tiffany doesn't. Dude. You do.
Yeah. And so we sit there, and she's super cool about it. She's super supportive about the Lego thing. In fact, I, just a quick story. I went to Target.
Target. Continue.
Target. I went to Target to buy.
It's Target.
Shut up, Tom. Went to Target.
We're running long. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, we can run a little long on this, but because we got some other agenda items.
This motherfucker.
But I went to Target to buy a specific bottle for my daughter that was supposed to help so she wasn't swallowing as much air whenever she was drinking her bottle.
I've seen those with little tubes
and Dr. Brown's, yep. But I can't go to Target without going down the toy aisle. And I went down the toy aisle, and I was kind of looking at all the superhero sets. I'm like, I have got most of these, and the two that I don't, I really don't. I mean, I'd like to have the minifigs, but I'm not dropping $30 just for the minifigs because the sets are stupid. Like, Spider-Man doesn't need a helicopter nor a motorcycle.
He needs both. Are you kidding me? So,
I kind of just keep wandering down, and I'm not a big Star Wars Lego guy. I like some of the classic sets, and they've actually come out with some new classic series sets that I'm going to be picking up. But mostly everything is like prequel sets that I don't really care about.
It seems like they alternate.
Yeah, they're kind of going back and forth, but they did just release an awesome new Star Destroyer set that I'm going to be picking up, and then also the Mos Eisley Cantina. But anyway, I was walking down and I saw a clearance sign, and it was for the Millennium Falcon set that you have, which is...
It's pretty sweet.
It's a $130 set, and it was on clearance for 50% off. And I was like, son of a bitch. And I didn't buy it. I was like, no, I'm here to buy a bottle. I'm going to just buy a bottle and go home.
Which was a huge mistake.
So I went home, and I told Tiff, I was like, yeah, hey, I got this bottle. But I was there, and I told her about how it was on sale. She's like, well, why didn't you buy it? I was like, oh, damn it. So the next day, I went back to that Target. They were all gone. I went to another Target close by, all gone. I ended up driving out to this one Target in West Valley, and I get there, and they've got some Millennium Falcons, but they're not on clearance. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I grabbed one of the people there, and I was like, hey, this is on clearance at the other Targets. Like, can you scan this? Is it on clearance here? And he scans, and he says, yeah, it says it's on clearance for $129.99. I'm like, that's not the clearance price. That's the regular price. He's like, oh, well, it means it's going to go on clearance. All the Target store stuff doesn't go on clearance at the same time. It depends when we got the stock and so on and so forth. Gives me this big explanation. And yeah. So I asked him, I was like, don't you guys price match? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, if I brought in an ad from Walmart saying that this thing was 50% off, wouldn't you give it to me for that price? He's like, yeah, most likely. You won't price match another Target store? He's like, we really don't do that. I was trying not to get irritated with him because it's not his fault. Stupid. But I'm like, I said to him, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. He's like, I wish I could give it to you for this price. But anyway, long story short, he ended up talking to the manager, and I got it for, they ended up calling another Target, and I got it for the discounted price. So that was a really fun build. One thing I did want to mention, though, is I recently discovered the Lego Designer, it's a free program you can download from Lego.com.
Oh, no.
Which it's kind of like an AutoCAD program, and it's got all the Lego pieces in there, and you can build a Lego set, like a dream Lego set, and you can save it. Here's the best part about it is there's two exports you can do from it. Once you build it, no matter what you did to get to from point A to point Z, and like all the deletions and additions and things you swapped out, by the end of it, you tell it to make you instructions, and it makes you Lego instructions.
Oh my god!
It logically like puts things together for you, like saying this is the easiest way to construct what you've just done.
They know how to ruin our lives.
And then you can also print out an Excel spreadsheet with all the part numbers and how many of each you used. So essentially, you can build a custom set, get the part list, have your instructions there, order the parts because you can order parts individually from Lego.com and pretty much make a custom set. So my big thing is after I got the Batcave, I got a bunch of other Lego Batman sets that has like his Arctic Batman suit and his aquatic Batman suit and then a gray Batman suit, a blue one, like all these different suits. So I'm like, I want like the thing like where his like suits are on display, right? For the Batcave.
Oh my god.
So I got online and spent about 6 hours building this thing in this AutoCAD
program. You have so much free time.
God, I'm like, who has that kind of time?
Oh god.
He made time.
Made time. And it turned out so badass, and I'm so excited. So here's my one gripe about it, though, is I got my parts list and I went on to the Lego store and
$1,200.
No, it's actually it was like a 350 pieces is what I ended up using for this. And I priced it out, and it's going to cost me like about $45.
That's not bad.
To have all the pieces shipped over to me. So, but the problem is I'm running into an issue where there's certain pieces that I can't order. Now, it's not that they're sold out or anything. It's just they're just not available to order piecemeal.
Oh, my God.
And it's random. Really? It's not like a specialty piece either. It's not like a round disc with the Batman.
So you can't just go like buy the piece at a set. You have to figure it out.
Yeah, so for instance, I needed two, like, 4x10 flat pieces, right?
And they tell you what set it's in, don't they?
No. So I put it in there, and it's like, I put in the part number, boom, said I needed two, add it to my cart. Done, right? Well, I also needed 2 4x8 black flat pieces. The part number doesn't even fucking pull up. It's like, it's a basic piece. It's not a specialty piece. So I'm kind of running into some roadblocks. So far, like some of the pieces I can't find, I'm going to go back and I can modify my design, and it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Well, I have a giant bucket of Lego that I was given for Christmas that might have some of that. So if you want to come go through it and find it.
I might have to.
It's
just kind of frustrating because it's this great program. And, you know, I'm fully prepared to drop $45 to $50
easily
on this set that I've created, which... You know, a 300 piece set from Lego doesn't cost $45. You know,
right.
That's pretty steep to order a piecemeal like that. But I really liked what I built. It's of my own design, and I'd like to get it, but it's a stupid roadblock, and it just seems silly that some basic pieces aren't available piecemeal. So
that is kind of weird.
I'm gonna try to figure that out and play around with it a little bit more. But that's kind of like my new thing is, like I said, I'm going to start maybe doing some custom sets for some additions to some sets that I also have. And real quick, before we move off of Legos, I do have to give a shout out to one of our Instagram and Twitter followers, Nikki Killjoy Line. She's always following us, always listening, and she was the one who wanted to kind of an update on my recent Lego adventures. So there you go, Nikki, and thank you for being such a faithful listener month over month. So there you go.
Badass.
Lucas, the...
I'll be quick. Yeah. I was just going to... The only thing I want to talk about was the Ninja Turtle figures. They've got the new series.
Yeah. Let me actually pull that up.
I want to talk about that in the discussion.
The figures? I thought we were going to talk about the movie in the next one.
Oh, yeah. The movie stuff. Okay. I thought you were talking about the movie figures. Sorry.
Oh, no. Just these ones.
So this is from the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah, from the Nickelodeon cartoon. Some of the new ones they've released are the different villains. They've got the squirrel. I think it's like a squirrel-noid is what they're called. And they've made these very similar to aliens, like the xenomorphs. So those are pretty cool. They've got this guy. I looked him up. He's the Pulverizer. And the cool part about him is at some point he got hit with mutagen, and it turned him into just like a big pile of organs. And so Donatello felt bad because... it was kind of his fault, so he put him in this big container to keep him safe. And then from that, he mutated more and grew with these mutant arms and legs, but they're just made out of ooze. So with this figure, you can open it up and actually put ooze inside of it. With this guy. And then if you look at like his hands here, the hand pops off, if I remember correctly. And it's got a bunch of little holes in it. So you put the ooze in the hand, and then when you put this back on, it pushes the ooze out through the hand.
Oh, that's cool.
So he oozes himself.
That's pretty sweet.
Kind of like Jimmy. I call this my Jimmy figure. And then my favorite from the new line, second favorite, is Casey Jones. And this guy's badass. He's got his own mask, and you take the mask off, and he's got his painted face underneath it.
Oh, no shit. The mask came off.
What? Yeah, if you kind of get underneath the chin here.
Yeah, take it off for me, because I'll fucking break it.
Yeah, Lucas, take it off for him.
All right, I will. So he bends at the knees and at the elbows, and the reason why I'm mentioning that it's important.
He's
we got
freaky
this,
as fuck.
He looks off. Cool. He's like dead presidents,
right? So I've got this April O'Neil from their first series, and she doesn't bend at the elbow or the knees at all.
So they're stepping
like no
their game.
Articulation. So the Casey Jones figure is pretty sweet.
So they're stepping their game up a little bit.
She doesn't bend at
what
all.
What is he wearing on his?
Got to treat her with respect.
Did you buy Casey Jones recently?
Kylie likes her sweet ass. What?
It's a sweet tight ass.
Sweet tight ass.
Did you buy Casey Jones recently?
Yeah, that would target.
I kind of want to go buy that because Casey. I'm a big Casey Jones fan.
It's a cool figure, and it matches the television series really well. He's got his rollerblades strapped onto his sneakers. They're like they're not actual rollerblades. They're like the ones you'd buy at a gadget shop.
question for you. Does what was his name again? Sorry.
The Pulverizer is what he was called before he got turned into that. I can't remember his name now.
Jimmy now figure. He's called yeah, Earthworm Jimmy, Jim in a can. One.
Yeah. Does this figure actually like hold something? Because it looks like that there's four prongs for him to.
Well, yeah, that's hold you put the ooze in the ooze left
comes
hand.
Out. This is what he was talking about. The ooze comes out.
Oh, okay.
But there is a hole in this fist. Is that for anything?
He didn't come with any accessories, but I'd imagine.
Okay.
In the future, he could.
You can stick whatever you want in there.
Mm. There you go.
I don't know how I feel about like the Sting face paint on the Casey Jones, man. Yeah, dude, I'm going WWE on this.
I'll show you the episode tomorrow. It's pretty cool.
All right, cool.
That's one of the. I'll talk about that later. So this series, they're slowly putting out each of the action figures. In one of the episodes, they had like a Lord of the Rings themed episode where Donatello is a wizard and Leonardo's a knight, and they've got their suits made out of stuff they found in the sewer, so it's all trash. And they're actually doing those four figures. I'm pretty stoked on. Mm. Let me just take care of that, Tom. So these are really cool. They continue to be my favorite, like, under $10 action figure item. They keep getting better and better. I had the website here. Just from this series, they're going to have Razar, which is
the wolf, right?
Nice. So there's the Dog Pound, and he got mutated again, kind of like the X-Men second mutation kind of thing.
Right.
So they've got a figure for him. They've got the Neutralizer. They've got Slash, which is the big turtle by Corey Feldman. Awesome.
What about Toka?
Kirby Bat. They haven't done Toka in the show yet. There's some pretty cool ones.
Do they have a picture of Slash? Or is it just a list?
No, they got a picture here.
Can I see?
Yeah, same. Same.
Pass it around. So the Slash figure, I saw it at Comic-Con prices, so I didn't pick it up. But he's bigger than the Turtles by a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like they've altered him quite a bit from comics origins.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he's a... if you haven't seen it in the television show, Raphael has a pet turtle. That pals around with him. It's a little snapping turtle.
It seems a little weird, right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he's got a little pet turtle. I can't remember what he calls him, but then he gets mutated and he turns into Slash and he starts referring to himself as Slash. And in that particular episode, like the whole moral of the story is he was bitching about his brothers. And so Slash wants him to kill his brothers.
Jesus.
It's a reasonable response.
Yeah.
Right? And so. Raphael has to be like, no, man, I was just upset. Not a big deal. Yeah. But Corey Feldman voices Flash.
Oh, nice.
And Slash, which is cool.
Yeah, he was Donatello.
Right. And in one old three.
Movies, yeah.
I like the comic book version of Slash better, but that's just me.
Yeah, totally. But the action figures for the money like,
are super cool.
They're pretty sweet. And this Casey Jones.
I like Casey.
If you buy the four Ninja Turtles, you should buy the Casey Jones figure.
Definitely. I need to go get that.
And Casey Jones is just, I don't know, I feel like if there's an iconic Turtles character that's not a turtle, it's Casey Jones, sure. Right? I mean, there's hardcore bands named after him.
One
the whole hockey mask thing is fucking Donatello's awesome.
Donatello's love interest is April, like he's got that big crush on her, so the kind of,
sweet tight ass.
They start kind of dating a little bit.
Which is
Casey
weird.
Jones, well, no, Casey Jones and April.
Oh, okay.
And so then Donatello's like, come on, man, I know I'm a turtle, but... So that
come on, you know how big my dick is?
Got that big Kylie dick.
Enormous. Proportionally, they're pretty big.
So, all right, anything else?
No, I think we should go to break.
All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but we're going to switch gears and talk more about the movie.
Yay!
And everything involved with it, collectibles, tie-ins, Pizza Hut.
Cassidy, he's going
to
be.
Cassidy's
running the show.
TMNT shirt on, ready to go. So stick around, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Pilot.
And this is Brian Young with the Full of Sith podcast.
And Kinsetta Parker couldn't join us for this little promo right now. She had to run off and do some important work at Rancho Obi-Wan. But let me tell you, if you listen to our podcast, Full of Sith, these are the kind of things that you're going to hear.
Yeah, that's basically his entire move. That's what he does. J.J. Abrams makes movies that feel like Spielberg.
Because if you work at Lucasfilm for almost a decade, it's kind of like beaten into you. It's like boot camp.
But I like that movie, and I think most people do. And you shouldn't let that kind of stuff get to you. And you don't want to know what his reaction was?
It's a dream come true! I'm on a Tauntaun!
No, he knew he was going to make it. He did the electric slide before. He knows what it's like to do the big... What is that called? The big wet and ride or whatever it's called?
The slip and slide.
Yeah, the slip and slide.
Slide.
Yeah. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
He knew. He absolutely knew.
I was going to say, the worst thing Luke lost there was his masturbation hand. And then they gave him a robotic hand that probably doesn't get tired. and I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true. I don't know. He handled it better, Travis.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm leaving it back at the loss of his hand.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy, and we shall have peace.
The Full of Sith Star Wars podcast. You can check us out on iTunes or fullofsith.com. We're everywhere.
And you're full of Sith.
Welcome back to the Big Shiny Podcast. This week we are talking about collectibles and comics. What are you doing there, Kylie?
Taking a picture of your Legos. Nice.
We are going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
God, they're so bad.
The
Tom, can I have my phone back? I need to discuss this with Dex.
Right. So we're gonna talk about kind of all things Michael Bay TMNT because that's what's coming out.
Yep.
And
when is that coming out? What's the date on that?
August, I want to say 2nd, 4th, 6th, so something like that.
Is that the picture I
see? Beginning of August, early August.
Yeah, so we have our resident TMNT expert here, Cassidy, not to put you on the spot.
Apparently not. I don't know the date it's coming out.
Wow. It's a Michael Bay movie. Nobody fucking cares.
So what kind of sparked this conversation? We're going to talk about everything like collectibles. And
Tom doesn't say shit. He comes out gunslinging like, motherfucker.
He's here to derail.
Okay, go ahead. Action figures.
All right. So I wanted to talk about the new movie action figures. I was at Target the other day. Fuck you, Tom. And I went down the Ninja Turtles aisle because I always got.
They have a whole aisle.
Well, like half an aisle.
Yeah. They got a lot of shit.
They got a ton of stuff.
They're hyping up.
And
August 8th, by the way.
So I always go down that aisle because for the figures that Lucas talked about before the break, the figures from the cartoon series because they're fantastic. And
right.
I only own the Turtles, but. It's a great series, and I like to see what's out. I also have like the little turtles, the little kid turtles. I thought those were awesome. I had to have those. Lucas helped me finish that set because I couldn't find the.
That's what I do.
Fucking, I can't remember which two it was, but for the life of me. So I went down and I was like, oh, they've got the new movie figures out, and my thought process on this has with as far as the figures go, I figured if the movie's dog shit, I might still buy the figures just because it's another. Iteration of the TMNT figures and just kind of have them.
They're so bad.
You just pass that basketball over here.
Yeah, and
I have a Shrek action figure.
I saw them. I took one look at them. I snapped a picture of it with my phone and sent it to Jimmy and Lucas with a single word.
No, he didn't send it to Tom. Tom doesn't count.
And that word was shit.
It was shit. It looks like a geriatric turtle. Look at the like the fucking neck thing.
Yeah, like, they got like varicose fucking veins on the arms and like
all the knees are knocked in.
Yeah, Cassidy, I want you to jump in on this because I think you're probably the most optimistic about this whole new TMNT thing. But one thing I want to say is I don't have anything. I don't have any inherent problems with the design of the turtles themselves. As far as the way that they've kind of dressed them all up. If I had any problems with one of them, it would be Michelangelo. He kind of looks like a 90s surfer, a little bit outdated, but whatever.
Meet the Deedles.
I wouldn't have mind having a set of these four turtles just to have, because like I said, it's another iteration of it. But these figures are shit. Like the quality of it. The quality is what I have a problem
He's
with.
Wearing
not
a
the
scarf
design.
And a skirt.
Yeah, they look like garbage. The design of the turtles, the more I see it, the more it grows on me. I think they look good. I think they look like a semi-realistic vision of what a mutated humanoid turtle might look like. The figures are trash. If I could get sort of
they're cheap looking.
Absolutely. If I could get maybe a bust that looked like the movies look, I would be into that.
Right.
I will honestly probably buy the Donatello figure just because. Because
he's the fucking best.
Because I'm a whore
there.
For Donatello, and I will buy everything Donatello.
But
I'm looking at the picture right now, and they look like garbage.
So for me, I'll play devil's advocate. While they are garbage, I feel like what they're trying to accomplish.
It works.
With these. Well, what they're trying to accomplish with these versus the cartoon. They've got a lot more detail they're trying to get in on a lower budget.
True.
So to keep them at a price where kids can buy them, they're not going to be as high of a quality as a figure. That said, I think they're crap, but I'm also a 29-year-old man.
No, and I
what?
See,
that's
I see
fair.
Exactly what you're... Yeah, I think that's completely fair.
But on the other hand,
but
the
look
Ninja
at these...
Turtle movie toys we had that had like the rubber arms and
right.
the spots.
No, they
were
looked
fucking
good.
Amazing.
Those
yeah.
were awesome.
No, and that's fair. I think kids. So I think my boy will want one of these, and he'll be happy with it. I think I'm an adult, and I'm going to be disappointed in it.
Right.
I totally get what you're saying.
Now, I will say this: one thing that I do appreciate that whoever is distributing these toys for this new film have done that's really smart is you can buy the 4-pack of the Turtles.
Oh, you can?
And it's not like cheaper versions of what I already consider to be the cheap ones. It's these actual figures, but they're all boxed together in a single box
for like $7.
$35.
So it's $5 cheaper. Because aren't they 10 a figure about?
No, I think they're 8 a figure, and I did the math on it.
God
and like
damn
you,
it.
So it's what, $1 cheaper?
You save like $1 or $2. Like, it is a little bit cheaper. If you're going to buy all four, you will save $1 or $2 to buy them as a 4-pack.
Sure.
That's
but
smart,
that's
though.
One thing I wish, like, any time, like, the Turtles have, you know.
They did that with the NECA figures, which was
right.
nice.
Yeah, is to, you know, but like with the Nickelodeon cartoon figures, they just make it easy on us because so many people, if you're going to buy one turtle, generally
right.
if you're a TMNT fan, you want all four turtles at minimum, right? So put them together in a box and make it easy. So that is one positive thing I will say about this is whoever's behind how they're packaging this and distributing them, that was a smart move.
But aren't they doing something like a NECA figure? Like, I love my NECA figures, the BioShock NECA figures I have in my room. I love them. They're not. There's nothing like that coming out.
I would imagine at some point, though, there will be a higher-end figure.
I think it's depending on how well the movie, though, does,
sure.
though, right?
Well, I think the movie will do fine.
We're all going to go see
it. Transformers 4, from what I understand, was a pile of shit, and it did gangbusters.
Right. So, yeah.
I will be there at midnight with my fucking bandana on.
And your purple bandana and your staff? You goddamn
yep.
right.
All of this said, it's kind of going back to the last section a little bit. Did you guys see those turtle figures I posted?
I just wanted to point this out. In the first Turtles movie, do you remember the toys that came out with like the rubber and the different colors of green?
I feel like
it was really awesome.
I feel like you can't hear me tonight.
He said that.
Said you mentioned that.
He's
so
just repeated.
Really?
Hey, Lucas, remember when I wasn't listening? Let me tell you something.
Sorry, guys. I just feel like if they would have put like a darker spots on his head.
Oh yeah. yeah.
I mean, seriously, just a little bit more detail would have made all the difference.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, you're looking at the figure versus the image of him that's
image
in the
of
corner
it that's printed on the car.
Yeah.
And not to sound like somebody critiquing art, but it's not what's there; it's what's not there.
No, absolutely.
That's deep, Tom. That's
that
deep.
Is too deep.
Again, I'll buy them because I'm a sucker, but.
Right. Well, and, you know, 50 years from now, like, you'll probably take him to, like, 50
years?
50. 5-0. You'll take him to Antiques Roadshow, and they'll be like,
why the fuck did you buy this?
Right. They're like, well, I mean, it is the worst run of Ninja Turtle figures ever. Here's $5,000.
This was a poor investment.
Here's $50,000, right?
Right.
Like,
there's these sweet ones I gotta find here.
But see, even, like, his Leonardo's, so the one we're specifically looking at is Leonardo. Like, his sword comes to a rounded tip. And I get it. These are for kids. It has to come to a rounded tip. But even the cartoon figures, I mean, it's a rounded tip enough where it's not going to cut anybody, but it still looks like it comes
to
a point.
Say tip again.
This looks like the end of a popsicle stick.
Well, and again, to sort of slide over to Lucas's camp, I think it might be easier for, you know, the Nickelodeon series to make figures because they're working off of a cartoon.
Right.
Whereas with this, we're working off of sort of a photorealistic version of the Turtles, and it's
yeah.
hard to translate that into a figure. But I do feel like they could have
okay.
yeah, just yeah,
but something
so
very
simple. There's something missing.
I want to run with that point more. So that said, as a 29-year-old man that buys Ninja Turtle toys, did you guys see the Revoltech figures they're putting out?
No, I want to see those.
I did not.
So they're going to be like $45 a pop. You can go through. It's on a webpage. But they're fully articulated, like the
now these
Metroid
are the movie
Samus.
Figures?
No. This is for the cartoon.
Looks fucking sweet.
And they've got multiple heads, and the heads they have are like the anime ones, where they've got the big white eyes and different things. Tons of accessories. So for me, like if I was spending $50 on a movie toy, then that's when
right.
I'm a little more critical of.
Well, and that
how
takes us back to was it 10 episodes ago when you said, you know, I'm not going to buy a toy, I'm going to buy a figure, right? Like. That's why you buy Hot Toys. You're going to buy a Hot Toy because you
oh,
want
sure.
something you can display proudly versus...
Oh my God, I must have these.
See?
Yeah.
Right, but those are like $50 a pop.
Yeah.
But that's what
yeah.
you're getting at it.
Right.
So.
Right.
But see, but this is like, here, just a simple gripe. What's wrong with his fist?
My cock's not in it.
High five!
Well, there's
you got a tiny cock.
The color on his padding is
yeah, there's
missing.
Padding on his wrist, and it's colored green.
Sure.
It's his skin color. So like that seems like if you can't, if
it's
you
an easy fix.
If
yeah.
you can't make that gray because of money restrictions, can't you just remove that from the mold?
Sure.
Yeah, don't sculpt sure. that part if you can't.
Well, it seems
paint
like it was a post probably budget. Well,
and I think my issue is like, so I don't watch the, I don't have, you know, rich people TV, so I don't watch the Saturday.
Rich people TV.
Yeah, so like I don't watch the Saturday morning cartoons of Turtles. Plus, you know, I work Saturdays, but looking at like Casey Jones, for example, right? First of all, as a kind of a purist, he's not my Casey Jones, but it's kind of a fucking cool action figure.
Sure.
Yeah, that's for, a pretty good for $8 or $9 figure.
Yeah, for $9. But then I look at the turtle, the one for the movie, and I go, not as cool as Casey Jones. Whether or not they're working off of the, you know, a cartoon versus a live action, I feel like they could have touched some stuff up.
Well, and another thing to be fair to them, those are sweet, right? Another thing to be fair,
did Michael Bay make the figures? Because if so, no fairness
to the Michael Bay figures. Is
they all explode?
Well, like I had mentioned, the April O'Neil from Wave 1 isn't nearly as cool as this Casey Jones from like Wave 5. So they've improved
had time
along the way. Whereas this movie figure, that's their first line, so it's
true.
Probably the first thing they put
and
out.
And they've got to get them. Out. They probably got the licensing a bit late, and they've got to get them the fuck into stores so kids will buy them, right?
Yeah. So let's move on past the figures,
okay?
Because Casey, I've got it in my hand. Cass and I discussed. we both watched this behind the scenes thing they did. It was like 20 minutes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Inside the Action. It was like a 18-19 minute special that Nickelodeon put on last night after the Kids' Choice Sports Awards, which seems like, you know, obviously the thing that you're going to follow up Turtles with.
Oh,
right?
Really? Clearly.
Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
Fuck that guy.
Right.
But yeah, it was.
He's always switching sports teams all over the place.
It was it was essentially a 20-minute special on behind the scenes of the upcoming live action Ninja Turtles movie. And
I was surprised how much actual behind the scenes there was too. Normally with those it's just like a clip reel.
Sure. A couple of things I'll say up front. First of all, it assuaged all of my fears that I've had for this upcoming movie, and it also made me hate Megan Fox less, which is an impressive
that's super
feat.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah. No, she was charming and it was good.
There's that every time I think of Megan Fox now, there's that Honest trailer for the Transformers 2 movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I have.
But it's like one of the lines in it, the narrator says, "Watch as Megan Fox acts like or looks like a professional porn star and acts like an amateur porn star." Sorry, I thought that was funny.
I've never hated Megan Fox.
Neither have I.
Toe thumbs.
I don't care. About
I'm not looking at her thumbs.
No,
I don't like her.
Yeah, I've never dug her. I know people that are obsessed with her. Something has always rubbed me the wrong way about her. Hmm. And so when they first said, you know, that she's playing April O'Neil,
Kylie gets rubbed the right way every time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can still be friends. But it's always sort of bothered me when they cast her as April. I had, of course, the knee-jerk reaction of like, "Fuck that! You've insulted me in some way, and you should have asked me first."
Or the go-to, you raped my childhood.
Sure, right. Sure. And obvious things like she doesn't have red hair, they could have dyed it, you know. Why
she's
not
wearing a yellow
why
jumpsuit.
Not Emma Stone? But
right.
Or any other red
Emma Stone.
But watching this special, and of course I can't judge the movie off the special, but she was charming. She seemed to give a shit about the franchise. It looks cool. The trailers that I've seen seemed like maybe they didn't know what direction they were going in. This special, it seemed like a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I the thing I took away from it that beforehand I wasn't getting is they definitely seem like they've nailed the turtles' personalities more than I thought they would.
I would agree.
Granted, I think it's still more like embellished, but then again, this is a movie for kids.
Sure.
So it's not, I don't think it's going to be as subtle as I would want.
So let me ask you this then. Will you now see it in theaters?
Probably not.
He's going to like that's watch fair. It on YouTube
it'll
in 10
depend,
years.
It'll depend on if there are any ways outside of that I find easily like readily available.
See, and I feel like if I'm going to go see it in theaters, I want Cassidy to come down from Ogden. It's where you live, right?
Can you hype it for us?
So like, I want you to come down so I can see it with you, because then
right.
at least, like, I don't know, especially if you liked it, then it always helps to see it with someone that's excited about sure. it. Because for me, I know I'm being pessimistic about it. I know it, and I'm trying really hard not to be, and I will never say, like, oh, even if the movie sucks, it's like, well, I'll just never watch it again. It's as simple as that. I'll just disregard it.
Right.
I'm not going to claim that anyone raped my childhood, but I want it. I love Ninja Turtles. I want it to be awesome.
One of the things that kind of brought me more on board was how much, which is funny to say with a Michael Bay movie, how many practical effects they were doing with guys in suits. Like, Cass and I were talking about it before the podcast, but they had guys in those Ninja Turtle suits with the big shell on the
backpack
back,
thing,
and they were doing backflips and jumping off the walls. I was kind of impressed.
A lot of what you're seeing is, not just, you know, the turtles flipping around and whatnot, but, you know, explosions and trucks sliding off the road.
Yeah,
and whatnot.
It's all the semi stuff.
They did as much physical effects as possible, which I think is always a good sign for a movie. I'll be there, absolutely. I will go see it in theaters. I'll probably be there at the midnight release. Because, for me, the Ninja Turtles is it's the one franchise I've carried for my entire life, since childhood. And I don't feel like it's ever been a perfect franchise. There have always been problems. There's a goddamn Vanilla Ice cameo.
Hey.
There was, you know, there's the turtle's next mutation with the, you know, big-breasted female turtle.
There was also that rock show that went on tour with those really shitty masks.
R.C. Willie.
The turtles showed up on
free hot dogs and turtles
in shitty costumes. And every incarnation of the turtles you've ever seen, short of maybe the old comic books or any of the comics, any sort of movie or television version of the turtles you've ever seen has had its flaws.
Well, I mean, Turtles 3 was pretty weird.
The whole concept of that Michael Bay's ruining the Ninja Turtles is asinine. Mm-hmm. It's never been perfect. It's always had its flaws. It's always been carried on nostalgia.
Well, to your point, like, you had the comic book, and then from the comic book you had the cartoon series, which was heavily commercialized, and immediately the comic book fans felt kind of disowned when they, sold out for the cartoon. And same with, like, the movies and so on and so forth.
And you go through that, and the cartoon's what I grew up on. And so that was, like, my first introduction to the Turtles. The people who grew up on the comics weren't really, I experienced the comics afterwards.
Right, so,
and I enjoyed them.
But they're very different.
Oh, they're way different. Shredder dies in the first issue.
Has anyone else here seen Turtles Forever? It was the 25-year anniversary.
Where they go back in time.
Yeah, and the first thing they say, they show up and there's a walking slice of pizza, and they're like, "What the hell's going on here?" Like, they poke fun at themselves. There's always been flaws, and I've always been able to let those flaws go, and I don't see why this should be any different.
And I will say this. One of the more recent trailers that was released, Jimmy sent me the link, and because he said he had actually been over at my house, and he watched the trailer, and he's like, "Dude, have you seen the latest trailer?" And I thought I had, but I hadn't. It was a different trailer that had just been released like that day, and he's like, "It doesn't look that bad." Like,
was the TV spot with, like,
no, it wasn't a TV spot. It was
like a full trailer.
Yeah, this was a little while ago. It was a full trailer, and so
I wonder if there are reshoots.
He sent me the link. And I watched the trailer, and I look over at Tiff, and I was like, fuck. She's like, what? I was like, I'm kind of cautiously a little bit more optimistic about this movie now. She's like, really? You've just been railing about it. I was like, I know, but this trailer, maybe I'm judging a book by its cover, but I still have a gripe, and Cassie, I want you to weigh in on this. I still feel like the turtles are too big. Like, I feel like...
They're huge.
They're really big.
In the trailers, I feel like... It's not a challenge for them to go up against a bunch of Foot Clan.
Because they're
SUV. Palm their head and throw them against a wall.
I think I'll let him respond, but I have a theory for that.
Okay, so...
Cassidy.
Go ahead.
I mean that's... No, that's fair. That's honestly something that I had never considered. I guess ultimately they're probably going up against more than the four of them, and that might sort of be balanced, but I'd honestly not considered that.
Feel like the reason that they'd done that was twofold. I think one is, since they were doing these practical effects and the actors playing the turtles are, 6 foot, so to have them practical and then try to shrink them down a foot would have caused problems.
I'm not even saying that they need to be short, because I know, generally speaking, about the Ninja Turtles, they're shorter than... your average person, right? But they seem like they're 8 feet tall.
Yeah, well, I think there's partially that, and I think the other thing is the. It seems to me like they're going down the route of these. This wasn't like an accidental mutation. I think you mentioned this too.
And yeah. Something you'd wrote. It doesn't seem accidental at all.
It's like a comics, superhuman thing. It almost, so that would make sense that they
well,
would be.
Well, because in the new comic, it wasn't accidental, right? Like they were right.
They were part of
on.
An experiment, yeah.
Right.
And it almost feels. It feels like Oscorp to me. That, okay. That totally. There's a company that's building or that's creating, you know, human enhancement serum, and it may not be that, but they're creating some sort of enhancement serum, and they're building mech suits. So it's sort of your Spider-Man Green Goblin kind of thing, right? But instead, you're getting the Turtles and the Shredder, fucking Shreddy Krueger, big robot totally. Mech suit thing.
Well, to be fair, like the original Ninja Turtles is just a ripoff of Daredevil, anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I don't so think it's. Taken, like, I don't think it's a secret that they, that it's franchise. It was always sort of a joke.
No. So here's
what here, were you gonna say kind about of like that? An so, ode to Frank Miller too with their art style.
Right.
So I have a hope for Ninja Turtles. Then, so something that's always been a memory of me is. My dad took me to see Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, at a theater. And it was one of the very few things my dad and I that I remember did together. And, like, he loved Splinter. Splinter was his thing, like, his awful, like, I made it funny. Yeah, like, that was my dad's favorite part of the movie, right? And I have this memory of my dad losing his shit laughing to that scene.
I can't see your dad laughing.
Right? But I have that memory because my dad thought it was funny as hell. And so, if anything for this movie, I hope that it creates that for another generation of future geeks in 20 years. Like, I hope parents, if anything, are able to take their kids to this movie and have that moment where, like, they kind of connect on something like that. Because if it does that, then whether or not I hate, like, I haven't watched a Transformers movie that Michael Bay's done since the first one. I fucking refuse to. But
right.
If it does that for a generation of future geeks to launch shitty podcasts that nobody listens to, then good on them. At least they did that for us. So
I'll say this. I don't think it's going to suck. It may not be the greatest movie ever. Mediocre. I don't think it's going to suck. I'm glad that this thing that I loved when I was 5 years old still exists and is still relevant,
right.
And will be relevant for a new generation. And I'm happy to take a mediocre movie versus no movie at all.
Right.
I don't disagree with you there. I mean, I'm still excited that there's another live action movie because I was. How did you guys feel about the TMNT CG movie?
I liked it a lot. Actually, so I was good. Pleasantly surprised. Yeah, it was great.
A lot of people movie. Shit on that.
That had
too.
Like the weird yeah. Egyptian really? Like god yeah, thing, man. Right? Yeah.
Oh, I dug it so much.
I don't think I ever saw a single review of it.
No,
I think I just ended up seeing. I'm like, I'm going to see this because yeah. It's awesome and it's kind of a sequel, kind of not. You know, it was.
Was it
see,
in theaters?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And I went into the theater going, this is going to be awful. And then I left and went, that was pretty fucking cool.
And I was
yeah.
So excited because I was thinking like, oh man, I hope they do some more of these CG films. And they yeah. They never did.
Is that movie on Blu-ray? I'd like. Oh, yeah. I kind of want to go
again,
buy it.
Awesome. I think yeah. You can get away with things in animation that you can't get
true.
Away with in live action.
Absolutely.
And I felt the same way, yeah.
Like the ninja rap.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh. Oh, you're good.
Phil wears a dress.
Don't mind me. Yeah, so, you know, you give a little bit more leeway to something sure. Animated than you do live action. So I think by definition, this movie has a higher standard that it has to meet.
Right, absolutely.
Before anyone's going to be satisfied.
Well, and I think with that, for one thing, that animated film, that fight scene between Raphael and Leonardo in the rain.
Oh my gosh,
was a
dude.
Beautiful piece of
it
animation.
It was awesome.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
It was so good.
Like, that was so awesome. And, don't step on that when you leave, Kylie.
I probably
step
will.
Step on it.
I was really hoping, because I feel like the turtle seems to work a little bit better in animation, which is why, Lucas, I mean, you love the Nickelodeon.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like that's a better format, and Cassie, I completely agree with you. No matter what live action form they take, there's going to be flaws.
Yeah. Well, you look at all the
Turtles
just the figures I have here. I've got one based on squirrels that go in their guts yeah. And turn into like an alien.
It kind of reminds me.
Yeah,
of
and we're all talking
monsters.
About how cool it is, and yeah. If they were to do that in live action, we'd talk about how stupid.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the turtles by definition are a silly concept, and to move that into live action has challenges that are hard to overcome. And I guess I'm just more willing than maybe most to look past them.
I can understand that because even I'm that way with like Ghostbusters. They could probably do a lot with the Ghostbusters 3 that most people might be like, I don't know about that. And I'll be like, yeah.
You'd probably be a little more forgiving of it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah.
Don't fuck with my Ghostbusters.
Well, right. And then I have to bring this up, obviously. There is new Lego sets based on the movie Ninja Turtles that are coming. That's coming really? Out. Yeah, they've got a sewer set that's running for about $100. They got one with their version of the turtle van, and they got one where it's like some sort of like chase scene from the movie. It's like got a semi truck and a Hummer, and
they talked about that turtles. Quite a bit in that special.
Yeah, and okay, so let me preface this with something. I bought one Lego turtle set thus far. It was the sewer. And that's probably, of all of my Lego building that I've done the last couple months, was probably the most disappointing build I've done thus far. I didn't care for it. And when I was done, I was kind of like, meh, that's okay, I guess. You know, I need to find some sets with the other two turtles in it so I can at least have all four turtles, but whatever. The layer for the movie version actually looks pretty cool. And it's a little bit more pricey, but I might pick that one up. It just looks a little bit more sewer-esque, you know? But I don't know. It might be one of those. It's one of those things that I'm hesitant to buy it because if I do go see the movie and I'm incredibly disappointed in it, then I'm really not going to want.
Right. I'm sure if you wait too, they'll have plenty around after.
Movie. Yeah, I'm sure. But that's another thing. I mean, so there's a lot of marketing out there. It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. I just because I've moved from being like, fuck this movie. This shouldn't be touched. Just don't. Someone else needs to do it. Needs to be an animation, something like that. Too. Kind of on the fence about it.
I'm interested to know, like, kind of what Tom was alluding to, what kids end up thinking of it.
Right.
If they're like, this is so different than the cartoon, I don't want anything to do with it. Or, because, like, our movie was different than the cartoon, and I was fine with it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Cassidy son reacts to it.
I think kids are going to dig it. They're not going to have all the expectations that we have. And
well, let me ask you this. Like, is someone, how old's your son?
He'll be 4 next month.
4? So, like, what are kids into these days? I mean, do you think are they into things that makes you think that they'll like the turtles?
I think he'll love it. I mean, again, he's 4, so what sort of expectations does he have? But he loves all things turtles. I don't think he'll be disappointed at all.
Right.
And I think it's people like us that are adults that are looking back on our childhoods that we have a definition of what the turtles should be, and if it strays from that, people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Kids aren't going to feel that way.
They've
got
back,
nothing but the Nickelodeon franchise to look at.
And looking back for myself, I watched Turtles 3 a million times.
Yeah.
Arguably,
it's unwatchable now.
Yeah, it's awful. It's arguably the worst Turtles thing to ever hit anything.
The next mutation.
Yeah, I was
going to
say there's.
Oh, okay.
It's bad. But
I watched it a fuckload. And now thinking back, you know, I think you're right. I
got the, there's a 4-disc, or there's a 4-movie DVD set you can get out there that comes with live action Turtles 1 through 3 and then the CG film as well. And Tiff and I sat down, we watched number 1. She'd never seen it.
Number 1's great. It's so much fun.
Number 2, still as fun as I remember
it.
Vanilla Ice cameo included.
Oh,
still
I love
it.
Ninja.
You know, the only thing that still bugs me about that movie is that they don't use their weapons, but I get that they were gearing towards a younger audience. But then
Ninja
3,
sausage.
We got about 20 minutes into it, and I was like, I can't watch this. I skipped over it. Like, the second I saw the costumes, because they changed the costumes,
right.
They weren't as good as quality.
They invented pizza in feudal Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, my
but
God.
The reason why I asked you about your son liking it, Cassie, is because I remember when I was, I don't know, like my late teens, and I'm really, like, embracing kind of, like, the collector geekiness thing. You know, it's, you know, I've got the things that I'm into, so, you know, the Ninja Turtles and the superheroes and all that stuff, you know, buying the Marvel Legends figures and everything. But I remember at that time, kids were into, like, the battle things, right? Like, so Pokemon, Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
Power Rangers.
There was kind of a theme, right? There was kind of a theme there. So I didn't know if there was something out there right now that kids are kind of, like, generally into.
Oh, man. Do kids still play Fossil Hunter? That
what
game's
the,
amazing.
What the fuck is Fossil?
It's like Digimon, but you dig that shit up. Oh, it's fucking rad.
Sounds like a lot of
I don't know. I mean, my kid likes Ultimate Spider-Man.
Cool.
The Nickelodeon Turtles.
So is it kind of coming back to the superhero thing?
Does your,
with the Marvel
for
movies?
Him, for him, absolutely. He is Batman, Green Lantern, Ninja Turtles, Spider-Man.
Green Lantern, really.
Everything comic... Oh, yeah, the Green Lantern animated series.
Oh, on Cartoon Network.
It's yeah, so yeah. much fun. It's super... The animation bothered me for, like, 10 minutes, and then I forgot about it, and it's a lot of fun.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, like, how would your 4 or 5-year-old be into Green Lantern? Like, what exposure would he have had to it? But the cartoon,
yeah. Yeah. I'll say this about the new Turtles movie that's coming out. I absolutely don't think that it will be the worst incarnation of Turtles that's ever happened.
Oh, there's been some bad
things. There are some yeah. bad things. So the whole notion that it's ruining the franchise is ridiculous.
There's actually a video out there. I can't remember who produced it. Oh, I think it was the same guys that do the Honest trailers. It's a 5-minute video, and it's called The Most Embarrassing Things to Ever Happen to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it's clips from like the 90s when they appeared on Oprah with the shitty costumes.
Yeah, they crawl out of the sewers and it looks terrible.
Yeah, right. Like yeah. It's, so when I watched that, I think that kind of helped put things into perspective for me. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Raphael being thrown into a Hummer shell first and wrecking the shit out of it is probably going to be pretty badass compared to
Oprah.
Oprah.
And anything's better than Oprah.
And that's, I'll go back to what I said.
Bitch.
That there's this thing that I have loved since I was a kid. That has been my favorite thing since I was a kid. Oprah? And it could have just... Oprah. I fucking love Oprah. No, Turtles. And it could have disappeared like so many other things.
Yeah.
And even if it's not the best thing I've ever seen, I'm glad it's still around.
Like, what if they made a reboot movie? Do you guys remember Reboot? That shit was awesome.
Reboot.
That was like the first CG animated cartoon series, wasn't it?
Or Beetleborgs. Like, but imagine if they brought back Beetleborgs. I want to talk about
this in not the next podcast, but the next time we come around on the Geek News and stuff. The reboot of the Power Rangers. That's something I want to talk about.
What? That's a thing?
That's a thing.
Oh, my God.
But, like, to Cassidy's point, I'm stoked that when Nickelodeon bought the Ninja Turtles, I was stoked it was still worth that much, the $60 million that Laird got for it. But since then, even then, I was like, I don't know. We'll see about the CGI animation. This cartoon is probably my favorite iteration.
You fucking love it.
Of the Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
You're
like,
always raving.
You talk about it every month.
And the nostalgia and everything. Like, it's probably the best version of the Turtles.
It took me a minute to get into it with all the anime influences and whatnot. And
totally.
It took me a minute to kind of get what it was. But it's great.
But, you know,
totally.
It's weird because I feel like the older I get, the more I kind of dig a lot of the stuff the anime is doing. I don't know.
I never thought I'd like it. Throwbacks and this stuff.
So, all right. So we're going to call it a wrap for this week. Be sure to join us next week. We'll be talking about video games. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Bohemian Brewery. You can check them out at bohemianbrewery.com. And Superhero Stuff.
Oh.
You can check them out at superherostuff.com.
Superherostuff.com. Since you're our sponsor, make Ninja Turtle hoodies and give them to us. Yeah. I want a Donatello. Continue.
I think they have Ninja Turtle gear on their site.
Yeah.
Send it our way.
He just wants free shit.
I want a free Donatello thing.
Look it up.
Okay, I'm Googling it.
All right, we'll check you guys next week.
Cowbunga dudes.
Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. As always, you can check us out on iTunes. Please listen and rate. You can also find us on Stitcher. And be sure to check out our good friends at Entertainment is Dead and the Full of Sith Podcast. And a special thanks to our good sponsors at Secret Compass, who you can find at secretcompassonline.com.